Gotta shake my head at that.
I had no idea.
Unreal.
I didn't even remember if I was still alive.
Maroon 5 is still alive. I'm alive. It's about 5 o'clock now on Tuesday, October 30th. You get a new podcast episode with a kind of familiar and frequent guest. Perhaps you also know him as a new name I've given him on social media. Loose Cannon Comives. As we get close to the election, that is his alter ego personality, the one and only Nick Comives, formerly of Equality Toledo, now the Loose Cannon on City Council.
Are we on right now?
Yeah, we're on.
Oh, okay. You didn't tell me we were starting. I just...
You need to explain. So Nick said before we hopped in the air, he didn't know that Cardi B and Maroon 5 had a song. How did you not know this?
Why do you have to embarrass me like that? To be honest, I only listen to Spotify and I never listen to a radio station.
But that song is like massively popular.
I don't know what the youths are doing these days, you know. I'm sitting in my council office with all my council members that are all, you know, we like the oldies and stuff or something.
Aren't you supposed to be the connective tissue to the younger voter?
Man. Yeah, but do I have to do it through like
music?
Pop music
it's
right now?
It's a good way to connect.
But I feel like I can talk to them about the environment and they listen
to
me.
Oh, yeah. And nothing gets an 18-year-old going like the environment.
They love that stuff. They're all like, yeah, recycling's super cool. Just kidding. They don't actually. I mean, maybe some do. I'm sure some do.
The straw stuff gets them going.
Straw stuff? Oh, yeah. Getting rid of their straws? Yeah. I don't use a straw.
You're brave.
I carry a water cup with me that has no lid on it.
Yeah, which he will inevitably knock over in a city council meeting or somewhere.
I don't think I mean, I'm pretty good with it. I've been using it for months. It's the same cup. I don't even know when the last time I washed it was. I don't know. This whole podcast so far has been basically embarrassing for me.
That's fine. I'm glad that you're that comfortable that we can do this.
Yeah, you know, I feel great in here. It's a little cold.
Yeah, I can't do anything about that. Actually, right. If you put that rug over that vent, there you go. I'll tell you to please share the podcast if you could. I checked Spotify today, and we weren't there, so I'm going to have to connect with them. But Apple Podcasts, make sure you get subscribed so you get the notifications. And, of course, Q1055.com tomorrow, a podcast with another community member who's never been on before. But, you know, when I meet somebody really interesting and fascinating and I want to highlight what they're doing, I try to track them down. And this person has been very hard to track down.
Who is it?
I can't tell you.
Oh, really?
I can tell you.
Okay.
I don't know his last name. His name is Omar. He kind of oversees the youth groups at the Toledo Muslim Community Center.
Huh. I want to meet Omar.
And I wanted to talk to him because usually when I talked about this last week with Sarah from The Blade and Lauren as well, they're like, we go to the same people all the time for quotes, and we want to get out of our comfort zone a little bit. And whenever there's some kind of situation, this weekend is a good example with the massacre at the synagogue, when there's a Muslim quote, we go to the place in Perrysburg, the mosque, right?
Always,
Or the imam, right? And Omar's brilliant dude. I think he is actually going to be a neurosurgeon. And he invited my friend Jen and I out for the Lucas County Suicide Coalition because he wanted to start that discussion with his young teens. And obviously, there's a religious disconnect there. Like, there is no suicide in Islam. So he wanted us to start that discussion. And I'm like, you're going to be a doctor and you're doing this podcast.
Yeah, this guy sounds awesome.
Good dude.
I'm so glad that he's in our city.
I know.
That's amazing.
I know. I'm
happy to hear.
So what do you get ready for election day next week?
Oh, man. Well, more than anything, I'll be out knocking on doors all weekend long, just trying to get as many people to come out and vote as possible. So if you go out and vote early, which you can do right now, poll early vote center, 1301 Monroe Street is open from, I forget what time in the morning. Sometime in the morning. I should look this up. I'm going to look it up. I'll look it up.
Probably 8 or 9,
maybe
7.
But they're open until 7 p.m. So if you're not a morning person and you got to go there after work, you can go there after work. But and if you go and actually early vote, then you won't get someone knocking on your door this weekend to tell you to go and vote. It'll be a nice, you know, respite from.
Will you get crossed off a list?
Yeah. So we update our lists all the time just to, if you already voted, then we're not going to come bother you because it's a waste of our time.
When you're going out to knock on these doors, are you going out to knock on these doors to get people to just vote and participate in the process? Or are you trying to be like, hey, issue 11 or issue 1?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly have my strong opinions in case people aren't aware of that. I mean, otherwise I probably wouldn't be elected. But I do encourage people to vote for Democrats up and down the ticket. I'm a big fan of Rich Cordray. I'm an even bigger fan of Betty Sutton. I think Rob Richardson is a great human and would make a really wonderful treasurer for our state. And I think, you know, there's a clear, in my opinion, there's a clear connection between corruption that is happening and those that are in power right now. And I'm talking about the scandal that has to do with ECOT. And I think we talked about that briefly during our last podcast. So I'm not going to reiterate it too much, but, you know, Mike DeWine and Dave Yost and these other Republican names at the top of the ticket are all heavily involved in that scandal. They've all taken huge contributions from these private charter school projects that have essentially eliminated funding for our public schools. So Toledo kids suffer as a result of this. And so that message seems to be hitting really hard with folks here because I think we're all kind of sick and tired of government abuse, right? I mean, I'm okay to say that sometimes Democrats do it as well, right? I think the interesting thing about millennials and younger people that are getting involved in the process right now is we're not looking at party so much as we're looking at what are you doing? What have you done? What do you stop saying what you're going to do and actually do it? Because a lot of people can say whatever they want to, but they're not actively doing anything, right? So we're seeing that a lot, I think, and all getting kind of tired of it.
Can you give me, because I was going to ask you, like, throw some knowledge my way about the gubernatorial race, because I literally know nothing. We've been pretty fortunate. I know people have their dislikes about Kasich, but for the most part, he's kind of like a throwback politician where he gives a crap about his constituents and kind of throws the party aside. And I know, again, everybody's got their pockmarks. But why Cordray?
I like Cordray because he's a 5-time Jeopardy champion.
Really?
Yeah, that's actually
you got
true.
My vote.
I mean, that's not actually why I'm
if you can take down Ken Jennings, you can. You got my vote.
He wasn't on then, I don't think. I think he was on before Ken Jennings. But, you know, maybe he could. Maybe that would be a fun little thing. He should have done that. I think he recently actually, unfortunately, has lost his, supreme title because he lost to a bunch of like fifth graders recently.
Did he really?
Contest. Yeah, but he might. I don't know if he like.
You think he threw the match?
He might have threw the match. You know.
Okay. Got,
you know, Wade lost in the first rounds of his chess tournament that he just had too. You know.
Quick aside.
Yeah.
Did he make that because he likes chess, or was that a PR thing?
That guy's got a chessboard in his office. There's a chessboard in the mayor's office. Yeah. I've never seen him use it, and the pieces always look to be in the same place, so I don't actually know.
Great idea, and it was just kind of here and gone.
Yeah. I think it's cool. I think it's cool that when younger people get to interact with us, elected officials, you know, okay, let's just real quick, here's an aside from your aside, is that I'm finding it very odd that people lately have been telling me that I'm intimidating and they expect something, they're just so surprised that I'm so open and I can just have a conversation. Like, what do you think a politician is? Like, I'm still, you know, Nick Comives, you know, I'm still
people
human.
That sit in Washington don't listen to us
and are
old and stodgy.
Yeah.
It's weird. We're very fortunate here where you know, I mean, living in Toledo, like it's 2 or 3 degrees of separation.
Oh yeah. I like, find that out more and more all the time.
Yeah. And we're fortunate so that we can rub elbows with our politicians. So there really is no reason to not at least have some semblance of what's going on with the issue. But I liked Wade's idea with the chess. It would be cool to do something like that every year. But if he doesn't play, like do it with the passion.
Yeah, no, I think he does. I think he very much does enjoy chess, and I don't want to take away from that. I don't really know.
He just stinks at it, right?
Apparently he's not that great at it, yeah. That, or there's a really exceptional fifth grade chess player in our community.
I believe
in our
that.
Midst, and he might be the next Bobby Fischer or something.
I believe that.
Know,
so Cordray?
Cordray. So anyway, back to this. Yes. Okay. So, I mean, here's the thing. When we're talking about a high-level position, like a governor of a state, we're talking about principled ideology at this point, right? So I think that's first and foremost. There's a difference. There is a difference that exists in the way that Republicans think about how government reacts, acts, and provides services to people, and Democrats have a different view, right? So off the bat, I'm more inclined to go with a Democrat just because of my views on the environment, labor rights, women's rights, LGBT rights, right across the board,
social stuff.
Social stuff, but those also have economic impacts. And I would also argue that, you know, the Democrats and Republicans have different views on economic impact as well, in the way that, you know, Democrats tend to believe that people deserve good pay and benefits and $15 minimum wage and these types of progressive ideals that are really gaining strength. I think the number one issue, too, that people have fresh on their minds right now is healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mike DeWine, on day one that he became Attorney General of our state, he was elected and he followed through on his promise. It was a campaign promise that he would sue the federal government to eliminate Obamacare, which essentially was saying that he was not in favor of protecting people based on their pre-existing conditions, for instance, which, by the way, Donald Trump took away yesterday. So if you have a pre-existing condition, you
I thought
no longer...
he was for that with all of the Obamacare
Except
stuff
that he did an executive order that eliminated it.
But he I remember him verbally saying when he was first elected or at, in the run-up
to
the election,
said that he likes LGBT people, and now he's trying to make sure that trans people are completely erased.
I'm not holding him to his word.
I don't
for
know
anything.
If you can believe anything that man says, because it's all lies.
So DeWine was staunchly against
DeWine
Obamacare.
Staunchly against Obamacare, came in, immediately attempted to take away people's access to quality health care, having an option to get health care, and then eliminating pre-existing conditions. To me, that is like so telling of a human being that you're going to look somebody who has a pre-existing condition in their face and tell them, you know what, I'm going to side with insurance companies here and let them not insure you just because you might have diabetes or you've had, you know, any number of other pre-existing conditions that were covered. I think that says a lot about a human being. And I think that's where we need to ultimately start, is taking a look at where their values are. Are we talking about profit or are we talking about people? Are we talking about healthcare options that exist? And frankly, all of us deserve, right? We're all on edge. If any of us, unless you're wealthy, if any of us suffer some type of health setback, even if you have insurance, your deductible might be really high.
Yeah.
You know, you might be paying a lot out of pocket monthly for your health insurance, right? So I think that there is no doubt whatsoever that people have this appetite for an expansion of Medicare, Medicaid, and they want to see those options. And frankly, from a business perspective, it also makes sense. The city of Toledo, for instance, by the way, pays about $45 million a year. That means $45 million of your tax dollars go to provide health care to city employees. And if the federal government would do single-payer health care, then we wouldn't have to pay that, and we'd have $45 million more for our roads. If I owned a business and I have to provide health care to my employees, then you're paying, $45 million at the city level, that covers about 1,200 employees or something like that. You know, scale it back. Even if you're a business owner and you only have 500 employees, we're still talking about a $20 million payment out of your pocket, generally.
I want to interrupt
to provide healthcare.
Because to me, I've like moved on from this issue. Mm-hmm. It's 4 or 5 years old with me. Obamacare is not going anywhere. In fact, it seems like Republicans have moved on from that issue. The problem with this is that no one's addressing, which I know another thing he said he would go after, it's the cost of healthcare.
Oh,
forget
gosh.
About the insurance. Like I've always said, you want to make a lot of money? Open a college or a hospital. You will make a lot of money. It's the cost, not necessarily all the insurance and all that stuff that goes with it. This is just trying to limit some of the damage and move the money around so one person pays for it as opposed to somebody else.
My roommate, I guess I'm about to out her. She's a lesbian. She's out, so I feel okay in saying that. I'm not going to name her name. But she had a surgery not that long ago, and they forced her to take a pregnancy test. And she was like, I haven't slept with a man in a...
What did they force her for?
Because she was having some type of surgery, and apparently they always check to see if you're pregnant.
Okay.
Right, so she can go to Rite Aid right now and get a
$22 pregnancy test. Or whatever it costs.
It's like less than $5 for a pregnancy test.
But it's $412.
It was like $120 of her healthcare bill was for this freaking pregnancy test, right? I mean, it's just absurd what they're doing.
That's the problem that politicians are trying to corral in, and it's a beast because there's so much pharma money lining your pockets. Not yours. But I have homework to do on this. Healthcare is connected to something I know you are for, and that's for issue one.
Yes.
Which is...
I haven't publicly made a statement about that, so I'm surprised that you... Maybe you just know me that well, but it is true. I am for issue one, yes.
Things just connect because I was talking to people about issue 11 and I just, you know, put the dots together. So for issue one, although I heard a great line, and if you want to expound off this, by all means... someone said that they weren't necessarily for the legalization of a lot of these things, mostly marijuana. Like, they were for decriminalizing.
Yeah.
And that makes a lot of sense. That seems like it's a good toe in the pool. And I think a lot of people have gotten caught up with issue one, where it's heroin, fentanyl, and cocaine, and it would drop these things down from low-level felonies to misdemeanors, less jail time, which, by the way, you're paying for those people anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It would drop it down so we can get these people into some care programs and reallocate that money.
People, treatment over incarceration. Treatment over incarceration.
Would you rather pay to make this person potentially a productive member of society, or would you rather pay it for them to get three hots and a cot?
To me, it's pretty simple. I think to most people, it's pretty simple, right?
Are there degrees here? Like, if I have 7 pounds of fentanyl, which could probably nuke all of Ohio, that's a felony. Yeah. You need to go to jail. But if I have a little bit of fentanyl, I mean, and this is where the same person could be two different things. I could have a little bit of fentanyl, which could be very deadly to a lot of people. I could have a serious heroin addiction. That same person could be a serious drug dealer. I think it's incumbent upon the legal system to decide what the intent was there.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, issue one will still allow for judges to have some leeway on what they're doing, right? I mean, that's what's important to say here, too. I mean, the reality is, you know, most people that have drugs on them do because they're addicted and they just purchased enough to maybe get them through today or the next couple of days, right? They're not, most people aren't kingpins in all of this, right?
Right.
And I think that's what we need to keep in mind here is that we have historically for a very long time and unnecessarily targeted specific individuals, right? I'm talking about people of color, specifically men of color.
These things affected everybody, though.
Of course they affected everybody, but disproportionately have impacted in a large way people of color. And issue
you mean
one,
marijuana specifically?
Sure, marijuana, heroin.
Definitely.
I mean, just across the board. I mean, the war on drugs really was created put a target on a segment
anyone
of our population's
color, minorities.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Right? Because anyway, I don't need to go super into that. I think most aware humans, reasonable humans, understand that that's the reality of what happened there. But I think that allowing judges to have some leeway on how they're assessing, and then, you know, because...
He's getting fired up!
I am getting fired up, because I don't want to necessarily talk about the jail situation, but, you know, I'm not... And the only aspect of it that I will bring up right now and that I really truly dislike is this idea of sentencing people via a video camera scenario, right? Like I think there is some value in having a person face to face with you, because you can then make a judgment, right? And a judge's
right.
job is to do that. So in that sense, I'm not in favor of the jail being built where they're proposing, and that's a whole other thing. But my point in all of this is that I do believe that judges should have the right to make an assessment on a person and say, you know, this person has just sort of fallen into this, right? Their medical professional prescribed them with a painkiller of some kind, and they are still suffering through that addiction process. And maybe it has transferred from pills into actual heroin, right?
And we could tie it back to the insurance issue. Maybe they maxed out their insurance. They couldn't afford it anymore.
Yep.
It's dirt cheap to get heroin on the streets,
yep.
So they resorted to that. And all this person did was they wanted their knee pain to go away.
Yeah.
Imagine if that were your relative. I understand that people think there are loopholes where they're like, they don't have to go to treatment. Okay, I get it. But would you want, let's say this happened to your relative, would you want your relative locked up because they had an addiction issue rather than them getting help? Because I think when it comes to the jail issue, we can, in a blanket way, say they're not getting rehab there.
No, of course they're not. I mean, there's barely enough supervision to make sure that people aren't harming one another while
right.
they're there, right? So, of course, and the whole idea of prison is really like this punitive version of life, to me, is just backwards in what we're attempting to do, because it doesn't look at the person. It doesn't talk about them as a human. We now have created a subgroup of humans that we think are subhuman, right? By putting people in prison. And most people are in prison for low-level drug offenses that anybody probably would have likely gotten caught for at some point in their life. Just saying.
Weed, yeah, marijuana.
So,
which goes back to, you know, that targets African Americans and blacks. And again, we used to complain all the time when there'd be like a a death penalty type thing. It's like, oh, kill him. And then we see how much it costs to kill somebody. Oh, leave him, let him rot in jail. And then we see how much, like, it costs us money. The same thing that keeps our lights going from green to yellow to red and the city's electrical thing going keeps these people in jail. So if we can help make them better people and rehab them, let's try it.
And what kills me is that this is a tactic that we have literally been using for hundreds of years. It got even worse, I would say, in the 70s in terms of, right? Like, our prison population just,
because it became a business.
Because it became a business, yes, 100%. And it's just, I'm at a point in my life where, like, people ask me why I ran for office and why I want to do things differently and why I'm willing to try things. And it's because I've just been watching, all of us have just been watching the same things be attempted over and over and over again. I feel like, you know, we've been locking people up for way too long, since the 70s, for these low-level drug offenses. It hasn't eliminated a drug problem in our country. A drug problem has increased in our country since that time. It hasn't reduced the number of people that are reoffending, right? I mean, if you go to jail, you're likely to return.
Can I use the awesome word of recidivism?
Recidivism.
That's a great word.
Oh, it's a good one, isn't it? It's nice, yeah.
Like wordgasm.
Whoa, can you edit that cough out?
No, we don't do edits here on the show.
I know, but I can't get rid of this cough. But anyways, my point is, it's time to try new things. Mm-hmm. Because we can keep trying the same stuff, and we all know how that saying goes.
Definition of insanity.
Yeah, and that's what I feel like we've been doing for way too long.
And that's one of the reasons why you ran, because you're tired of the same old, same old.
Same old.
So we're going to go for issue one. We're going to go for Cordray. We're going to go for, yes, for issue 11, which is not a new tax, which helps fund the mental health board. I had some people on to talk about that last week. Mm-hmm. And that obviously connects to issue one as well. Did I want to talk any more?
Issue 15. I want to
talk
15?
Issue 15. What's 15?
It creates a regional water commission.
Oh, God. Here
I
we
know.
Go. You can turn off the podcast.
Yay. I'm going to be real quick. Vote yes on issue 15. Here's why. Okay, because for quite some time now, the suburbs have been saying that they want more of a say in how our water system is operated. And you know what? They buy a lot of water from us. So, you know, they probably should have some say, right? If you're involved in the process, then we should include you. And so I think it's important. This will give our suburban customers a seat at the table so they can help with rate setting and make recommendations on capital improvements projects, which will help to secure the safety and affordability of our water for years to come and make sure that we don't privatize our water system, which is really important in terms of what we're watching.
Is it a new tax or levy or anything?
It's not. It does create a charter change to which is our city's constitution, essentially.
Right.
And so it's necessary for us to take it to the voters, which is why we are. But it's not going to raise your taxes. It's not going to raise your water rates. In fact, if anything, it's going to stabilize them and keep them at a lower rate for longer.
Because they've been going up a lot in the last couple of years.
They have, and that's because a lot of people were kind of playing with water as a way to kind of hold some political clout and power, and this will eliminate that as a possibility. This is going to equalize people's rates across the board.
Good.
Yeah.
Last political voting election thought, and then we can move to some fun stuff, like real fun stuff.
Okay.
I thought about this today. How come, and maybe it's just my little ecosystem on Twitter mostly that I reside in, how come it seems to me it's mostly always Democrats, mm-hmm, people like us who are encouraging others to vote?
Man, what a good question. Because you know what's interesting? Watch what's happening in Georgia and in Texas.
The voter
right
suppression?
Now. Voter suppression tactics. But it's not unique to the South, where it historically has taken place.
Centuries.
In a more grand way, if you will, meaning that they are excited about it. In Ohio, for instance, they like to do things where they just take them away silently, right? So we used to have this week called Golden Week, where you could register to vote and vote in the same week. Which is not problematic, because we're verifying your identity before counting your ballot regardless. So it's not the end of the world, but they took that away because, you know, what they don't like is when we go out and we gather people and we say, come register to vote and vote at the same time. Anyways, voter suppression tactics are not new. They're not unique to any part of our country. They are unique to Republicans. So I would argue that you are not correct in saying that Democrats want people to vote more. And what's interesting...
Wait,
is
I'm not right?
No, you're correct in saying that.
Oh, okay, I'm not correct. It just seems like people who are saying get out and vote are always Democrats. There's never a Republican who's encouraging the vote. Maybe that's simply an age thing, because Republican type people usually skew older, and by that time you have things have changed in your life where taxes mean something to you and your passion points have changed and you're a little bit more involved in the process, whereas you got to prod a 19-year-old.
Yeah, you got to actually. So, I mean, I've been thinking about this a lot lately because everybody's like, why don't millennials vote? Why don't they vote? Why aren't you guys voting, Nick? You know, and I'm like, I voted every election. And I've been reading a lot of articles, and I think for the most part, I find that millennials say things like, well, I just don't feel educated enough on the topic to make a decision. And so I think when you're talking about experience in older age, yeah, like people have seen things happen for a long time, so they feel a little bit more inclined to vote for something, right? But I find that young people who make that as an excuse just irk me. So I'm just saying that right now. So I apologize if I just offended you. But if you have time to go out and buy a Halloween costume.
I saw this tweet.
Right? I loved it. I was like, oh my gosh, this is the best thing. Or literally anything where you're just like sitting around. If you have time to do that, then you have to. I mean, you have a phone in your hand right now, probably. You're probably listening to this with your AirPods
device
or whatever, and you got your phone in your hand. Look up Rich Cordray right now. You know, I mean, it is not. It's not that different. I mean, I understand like judicial races. Like people don't understand the breakdown. Right, those are confusing ballot candidates. So, yeah, I understand that. But I don't think that people have an excuse anymore that they are uneducated, especially for us youngsters who grew up with devices and we know how to use them. So, you know, educate yourself. Take a few moments in the evening and look up these candidates. Look up the issues that are on your ballot. Look up the judicial candidates that are on your ballot, because literally our environment, our right to organize, a woman's right to choose, LGBT people and their lives. I mean, our lives are literally at stake right now, and we are allowing a very small percentage of human beings to make huge decisions that have long-lasting impacts on our lives. And if I'm a young person, you know, the policies that come out of the presidency, they linger for like 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years, right? I mean, that's how long lasting these changes to our tax code can have an implication, right? So in the sense that like everybody's excited that we got these tax breaks by the federal government last year, all of a sudden now they're like, well, our deficit is just skyrocketing, which is amazing with all of these financial hawks in office. You would think that they would have some type of grip on it, but no, they gave out these tax breaks to their wealthy friends, and now they're saying things like, well, Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security are all on the table because our deficit is too high, right? Well, all of us are paying into these things right now, and we might not ever see the benefit of it. Mm-hmm. And we have an opportunity to vote and say, we want these programs, so they exist for a reason. They're good programs. Many of our grandparents are living on these programs right now, and they wouldn't even be alive without them. Mm-hmm. Or they might be living with us, which could potentially
be a huge headache.
Huge headache.
There's a couple of things. One thing I read today came across my Twitter. It's in New York Mag. One of these really incensed me, and I'll see if it gets to you too. And mm-hmm. and it struck me as typical. Like it struck me as that's typical millennial talk, and I don't like to be that that finger wagging person.
Yeah.
Because I think things that millennials get accused of, we could all look in the mirror a little bit, and when they get older, they will finger wag at people. It's the cycle that happens.
Oh yeah.
Are you going to the Epic Leadership Summit next week?
Yes, I believe so.
I'll be speaking at 2 o'clock.
Hey-o!
Going to talk about failure and mental health. Anyway, so I'll just read a couple of these. Samantha, 22, last voted in 2016. And these are why these people aren't voting. And I'll just do this real simple. 2016 was such a disillusioning experience. Next person, Reese, 23, Hudson, Ohio, has never voted. In my senior year in high school, I was probably borderline socialist. Here we go. This is the one that set me off. Okay. And maybe it was just propped in here to stoke an argument. I don't know. Tim, 27, Austin, Texas, has never voted. I tried to register for the 2016 election, but it was beyond the deadline by the time I tried to do it. I hate mailing stuff. It gives me anxiety. Using the postal system should not trigger your anxiety.
One of the most efficient systems in the entire world.
That set me off. Let me ask you this, because I too have thought a lot about the younger voter. It seems like we're on the same page with this. Let me ask you this, and I was surprised when I did a little bit of research, and it was Wikipedia, so not like other stuff. And I'm
it's definitely official.
Mostly official.
Sure.
More official than a lot of things. I just thought that the get out the vote, the rock the vote, which we grew up in, the Clinton playing the saxophone, all the MTV shit that goes back to the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
It seemed to me like we keep doing this every 4 years, every 8 years. There's constantly an agenda. You know, get out and rock the vote. Be the youth vote. If you're 18, 19, 20 years old, take advantage for all the things that you just talked about, because there are repercussions that can last a long time. Mm-hmm. And it seems like the message has been always the same, and we keep doing it, and you figure we would have gotten through or given up at this point. Because we always do it, I was led to believe that the youth vote has remained stagnant or dropped. Do you know that it's gone up?
Yeah.
I was happily surprised by that. So the messaging has worked.
The messaging has worked. People vote if you tell them to go and vote. So I used to work for an organization called America Votes, and literally all we did was try to get people to go and vote. I worked on a political side of it as well. But it takes about 3 to 5 times of somebody being told, go and vote, to go and vote. And one of the last things we started developing before I left was the creation of a vote plan. So right now you see a lot of people with these vote plans that are out there, right? When are you going? Do you know where you go? What time are you going to go, before work, or are you going to go after work? It's helpful to ask these questions, because if I were to look at, have you voted yet, Eric?
Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Oh, you mean this year? No,
yeah,
no, no.
You
no,
haven't?
I go to this like old black lady church,
yeah,
in my neighborhood,
uh-huh,
and I zoom right in and right out. It's super
easy. Do you
go to
Warren AME?
Yes,
you're downtown.
I do.
You're downtown. That's how I know that.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah. Like right off Collingwood?
It's on Collingwood, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So when are you going?
I'll go Tuesday morning.
Before work?
Super easy.
What time?
Before work. Well, I have all the hours in the day. I might just hang out there.
Can I be you?
Yeah.
You should hang out there.
We kind of do have
for voting.
We kind of do have the same schedule.
Yeah,
well, I'll take a meeting here, take a meeting
there.
Yeah,
you know, coffee. It sounds great.
But to your point of like, when those people are freaking lazy too.
Yeah, put it
and
in your calendar, you know? I mean, here's the other thing that I get really tired of is like, oh God, I sound like I'm complaining. Also, I think I'm complaining so much and it bothers me because I really want everybody to participate and vote, you know? I mean, it's just, it's the foundation of our existence, and so it drives me a little bit crazy. But anyways,
go vote.
Go vote.
It's easy. It really
make
is.
Make a plan, and you can go right now. I did find those hours,
and
by the way.
If you work somewhere where somebody's hassling you, like you can't get off of work, that sucks, but try to work through it and be
right.
And be like, look, this is, you know, I feel strongly about this.
Or is this about to air tonight?
Yeah, I'm going to get this posted up as soon as
we're done. So, you know, from tomorrow all the way through Election Day, you can vote any day.
Good.
So you can 8 to 5 p.m. or 8 to 7 p.m., the rest of this week. On Saturday, you can vote from 8 until 4. On Sunday, you can vote from 1 p.m. until 5 p.m. And on Monday, you can vote from 8 a.m. until 2 p.m. And then, of course, on Election Day, you should go to your polling location. Also, I just want to address really quickly, too, because a lot of people get turned away for silly things. You do not need to have your ID to vote. You can take another form of identification. So you can take a utility bill with you, something to prove that you live at the address where you live. You do not need a photo ID in the state of Ohio to vote. If they still give you a hassle, you should ask for a provisional ballot. You'll have to do it by paper, all that kind of good stuff.
Paper.
But, yeah, I know, right? What year is this?
Sorry for the hassle, but if you want to vote, I mean, you want to be heard.
You got to do it. Also, if you still have trouble and they're still giving you a hard time, you should call 1-866-OUR-VOTE, OURVOTE. There are people on the other end of that line that are lawyers, that are ready. They know all of the laws in Ohio. You tell them your situation, and they will tell you how to correct it. They will likely tell you to go back in and ask for a supervisor of some kind at that location, and then they'll arm you with all of the things that you need to know in order to make sure that you can vote.
True or false?
Mm-hmm.
Your easiest day at the DMV is better, is much worse than your worst day going to vote.
You know what's
true?
True.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing. I have experienced a really long line one time in my life, and that was in 2004, Bush v. Kerry. Also, issue one was on the amendment then, so it was a big deal to me. Around the ballot that day, you know, I stood outside a bowling alley. I voted in a bowling alley that year. I was in Columbus. I stood outside this bowling alley in the rain for over an hour to vote, and I've never experienced anything like that since. So If you're experiencing long lines, it's likely because the staff inside might not be trained or something. So you should call the Board of Elections or call 1-866-OUR-VOTE and tell them that it's happening, because they will deploy people who will go and see if there's an issue. Because these are tactics of voter suppression, right? You have every right to vote. You should go and do that.
And it's strategic, too.
Of course, yeah. Long lines tend to be in places where more impoverished people live, for instance, or more people of color, or a religious minority might live in that neighborhood. It's very calculated.
Let's switch to the fun stuff. I drove by a couple of the sites today. People were like a little, and people questioned why the bike program got rolled out so late. And I was like, if it was 4 days earlier, it would have been 85 and sunny.
Yeah.
And my retort to them was, well, at least they can get like a week or two of some early info and feedback, as opposed to rolling it out, no pun intended, in April or whatever.
Yeah.
And then having to fix it. What kind of early feedback have you gotten?
We've gotten good feedback. So, you know, the administration is still in good communication with the company that operates the system, and it's called Gotcha. They're out of South Carolina.
I'd never work with a company like that.
Why?
Just seems like a mob thing.
Okay.
Gotcha.
I know. It's a little...
So when I'm giving you money and your company's name is Gotcha, that just sounds wrong. That's like, I would never date a girl named Krabs or STD.
Let's just move on.
Yeah.
Okay. Before you say something you forget. No. So they're out of South Carolina. Part of the reason that we were delayed, by the way, is because the hurricane rolled through and they...
Business.
You know, folks that live there kind of had to go away. They couldn't be where they live. So anyways, it kind of delayed everything, but we're getting good feedback. People are using it already, even in the winter. It's true that people in northern cities across the country that have bike sharing programs use these bikes in the winter. So people should not be surprised when they see people using them all the way throughout. I wish that it was rolled out a little bit sooner, so that way people could get a little more acclimated. But yeah, people are using them. There's a rack that's out in front of one government center, and I drive past there a couple times a day generally, because I have to go to a meeting somewhere, and I can tell that the bikes have moved in their location spots there, which means people are riding them.
Are you personally into it?
I have my own bike, and I bike on that. So
I've always, like, all over downtown. I walk because I like getting the steps, and I take the dogs.
Yeah.
So I've never been much of a bike rider, but, and I hope that this is a novel, because it's a novelty, I think. Yeah. And I hope it's a novelty that doesn't wear off, and I think we'll probably see, and I know you guys can track it, like, heaviest usage on the weekends when people from Sylvania and places want to park and go around to the, like, from go to the museum to Middle Grounds and whatnot.
Exactly. And we've been in talks about parking downtown, because it's quite an issue, of course, lack of, maybe a little bit backwards in the way that we operate it. So there's some things that we need to address. So there's a little bit of a parking study being operated right now, and so we can learn a little bit more of this. But it'll be interesting to see how bikes play into that, especially because one of the proposals that I've been hearing is to have, you know, create a parking lot sort of just on the outside of downtown, and then make it really cheap parking, and then either do a circulator bus or put the bike racks right there so people can use them. So I think it'll be interesting to see how all of these things kind of come together. I think public transportation, when we talk about public transportation, I think it should include cars, in the sense that how do people drive and where do they drive it to, and then what mode are they using to get to their next spot, right?
Right.
So I think it's an important piece to look at. So I'm excited about the bike share program.
There will be blind spots. There will be unintended consequences.
Always.
Like, did you see, you know my friend Alex, who was down there at the grand opening?
Getz.
They misspelled his name.
It's G-O-E.
It's Getz.
It's Getz. I was right, right?
It's Getz. Yeah.
I know Getz because... are we going to start? We should start calling him Getz. I don't know if he'll like that or not.
Well,
but it's going to happen.
In the paper, they spelled it Giots, so I've been calling him that.
I'll switch to that. Actually, yeah. He's good friends with my friends Lucas and Justin, who live on the end of my block. I know, we all know each other. And every time that I see him and I walk into a place, like I walked into the Heights for Lucas's birthday not that long ago, and he goes, "Everyone, announcing Nick Comives, the leader of our land." Like, that's how he greets me no matter where we are. So it's, I hope you're listening, Alex, so that way
he will. Alex is a good friend.
Yeah.
Such a good friend that, like, he prodded me hard to come to his Halloween party. I'm like, you know what? I don't do that kind of social thing, right?
Yeah.
But Alex is a good dude. He, because I wanted to tap into him because he was a big advocate of this. He said, here's how I'm going to do it. When I come downtown, instead of paying like the $4 for parking or whatever, I'm going to buy he bought the annual membership. And he's going to park at Libby and grab one of those bikes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But at some point, what will happen is everybody will do that. And you talk about like the extra parking structure. So that's why, look, it would have been nice to roll this thing out, no pun intended, in September, but shit happens. It's better than us having to problem solve all of this in April or May and, you know, whatever else is going wrong, if there's any other glitches. So at least now we have a little bit of a head start, and maybe we can use a little bit of foresight over the winter time and go, we've got to work on this, this, and this.
Yeah. So. No, and one of the other things that we haven't talked about is that the bikes all have a GPS tracking system on them. And I've been advocating for more bike lanes and bike infrastructure in our city, which is difficult to do because we have no money. But these bikes will track and we'll be able to see where they're most heavily used. So we can, that will help inform us of where we need infrastructure in the future.
We barely have roads for cars with ProMedica magnetizing everybody downtown. There ain't going to be no bike lanes.
There will be bike lanes. Don't you dare.
They're going to be like this tiny. You can get a
they're not going to be tiny. They're just people. Look, the reality is that across the world, cars are becoming less. And also, you need to look at like self-driving cars and what that's going to do, right? Because people are going to park. They're going to just drive up to the location. Their car's going to go park themselves.
Yeah.
It's going to be wild.
We're ways off from that. You know? I am curious to see how all that plays out here with this region that we're in being such a hub of car making, though.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was amazing. Like, when I first moved to Detroit, having grown up in Philadelphia, we had something called SEPTA. Like, I took it to school, Southeastern Pennsylvania Transportation Authority, like TARDA. Mm-hmm. And I get to Detroit, I'm like, wait a second, there's no public transportation? There's a little thing, there's like a little tram car that's near the casinos.
Yeah.
But then they're like, this is GM and Chrysler and Ford.
That's why they've got like a million interstates that are like 9 lanes wide on either side, right?
I mean, and you can do 100 miles an hour.
They did themselves in Detroit, unfortunately. They broke up neighborhoods. They made it impossible for people to get around the way that they used to. So if you didn't have a car, then you couldn't get around. So.
Right. Keep yourself in business.
Yeah.
Good line of work.
It sure is.
I guess the last thing, unless you want to touch on anything, a little funny. I see that you guys at City Council are going to talk about expanding or widening the golf cart usage.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I wasn't at that committee hearing.
People like it?
People love it. I mean, I think the people that like it are all Old West Enders who love having their golf carts. Steve Steele apparently showed up, you know, and drove his golf cart down there. He's got one of those like monster ones that has these crazy tires and whatever. Anyways, yes, people like them. My concern is this. They're open air, like a motorcycle that can't drive very fast. Except that they can't drive very fast. So I'm concerned about them being on any streets or roads where the speed limit is high.
You know, like Summit.
Like Summit. You know, I'm a little... It makes me nervous when I see these golf cart taxi cabs driving around a little bit. And at night when people are intoxicated, you know. So I think there's a lot to consider because this is such a new thing. But yeah, we're talking about it.
Will it expand to other neighborhoods?
I would say that's probably the majority of the talk right now.
Like, where would it go? Where else?
I don't know. I maybe people in Old Orchard really want to drive around, or like maybe in Beverly when I get from, you
walk.
Know, plate. I know, that's how I feel too.
Right.
It's, you know, it is what it is. Take a bike. I don't know.
I mean, we're so addicted to our, we all have, there's no reason for you to have an Apple Watch if you want to ride your scooter or whatever. Just get the steps in.
Yeah.
And it will, something else that we have to watch for downtown, you know, you want your bike lane. So we're going to have bikes. We're going to have, the golf carts. We're going to have cars in traffic. We're going to have, you know, public transportation, TARDA, when there's games and things going on. And oh yeah, by the way, the pedal bars.
Yeah. Oh God, those things. Don't
even
get me started.
Which go in the main like lanes.
I had fun. You know, one of your former colleagues, if you will, invited me to go around. Can I say names of other?
Was it Scott?
Yeah. Okay. Scott invited me out. You know, Scott's my buddy. We're totally different, but I like Scott. But anyways, we went out he invited me to come out and I rode around, or I didn't ride around. I ended up not, which thankfully, because I never want to be the person on those things that's like making me angry, because it drives me crazy when they're like in front of you and they're going all slow.
Or when you live there and when you live downtown and like, woo!
Yeah.
My neighbor had a great idea. We're going to come into your neighborhood in Old Orchard and one of those things that go, woo! Your block.
You know, I mean, you kind of live downtown.
I know.
It's like, you know, whatever.
But you don't like those things?
I'm not a huge fan of them. I'm not going to legislate against them.
Right.
So.
But it is. It is.
I personally am not. I don't really care to be on them. I'm not a big drinker in the first place, so That doesn't help me.
Any final things? We're voting for issue 1. We're voting for issue 11. We're going to do Cordray. We're going to do 15. What else?
I guess I, you know, I might, I have just been reeling this past week, and all, I mean, my weeks last week started out with the attacks on trans people, and I'm just so sad, and I feel like we've made so much progress in just accepting people for who they are, right? Like, there's nothing to be afraid of with a trans person. What are you afraid of? What?
It's fear-mongering.
Of course it's fear-mongering. Same thing that's happening when we talk about immigrants to our country, right? I mean, I'm sorry.
That migrant van has been turned into, like, oh, does everybody, like, it dawned on me last night, and I think I had a good tweet. Like, we were kind of on the brink of nuclear war. Like, crazy pants over there in North Korea probably had the weapons to blow up a city or two here. Sure. And you're worrying about a van of foreigners who just want to come do low-level jobs here.
Right.
Like, do you realize the fear-mongering that you're succumbing to?
And if you can't recognize that it's fear-mongering, you're just clearly not listening. These people, these folks that are out there trying to find a better life for themselves. Right? I mean, let's think about this. Like, they don't have access to food. They don't have access to shelter. They don't have access to healthcare. None of these things. They're risking literally everything to better their children's lives, right? Think about it from a human perspective of what is happening. And many of us have families that did the same exact thing.
Mine did.
Mine did.
Where's your family from?
Hungarian.
Yeah, I think my great-grandparents, it's all like Eastern European stuff.
Yeah. But I think, you know, listen to the way that these fear-mongers are talking about it, right? They're labeling these folks as terrorists. Drug dealers, rapists. Or they're saying things like they're illegal immigrants. They're under whose law? They've right. broken zero American laws. Absolutely none. And you cannot say they're illegal anything.
And it's like they're like Nazi panzer tanks, one of them steaming towards our border. It's like, this is one of the more surreal things. And how many people are there in this like supposed caravan? A couple thousand?
A couple thousand, and we sent 5,200. We sent more troops to the border than we have in, I think, Iraq right now.
And people in Puerto Rico are like, yo, we ain't got no lights.
Right. We can't even live.
The math of all of it is insane. Is kind of staggering.
Ugh.
Like, a couple of thousand people, if they were all really terrible human beings, this is the United States of motherfucking America. We can handle a couple of thousand bad dudes and dudettes.
Right.
But you're, and that's not even.
Meanwhile, we can't address like the rampant violence that's occurring in our own country right now. You know, I mean,
97-year-old Holocaust survivor. She was a true threat to everything.
Everything. I mean, the anti-Semitic. It's been so much over the course of this last week, and it's not a surprise whatsoever that all of it is happening just before an election. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, I loved, and the bomb things. I was waiting for it. I couldn't figure out an eloquent way to say it on Twitter because I don't want to be one of those people who gets stuck in loss of context from someone else and then I look like a shithead. I do a good enough job doing that myself.
Yeah.
But I was waiting for someone to go, this is people on the left setting this up to stoke the fires.
They were saying that.
They were.
Are you kidding
somebody me? Somebody did I think it was like the Ann Coulters of the world. Like, somebody tweeted out a long list of people who called that a hoax. And look, I realize that politicians, not you, can be manipulative and try to prey on things, but I don't know.
What a stretch.
This is why I just like go, what's on Netflix tonight?
I know. That's why people don't vote.
Last thing. What are you watching on Netflix now?
Oh, well, I recently finished Star Trek Next Generation.
You like Star Trek?
I love Star Trek. Are you really? Kidding me? It was so much fun.
Next Generation?
Yeah.
Have you watched Discovery?
No. Should I?
It did me solid. I enjoyed it.
Okay.
And they're moving it. They say they're moving season 2, which comes out in January, more towards canon, which was so much set by Next Generation.
All right. I like that. I loved Next Generation. I've watched some of the original. It's okay.
I think I don't like it a lot.
I don't like it that much. But Next Generation was everything.
You would maybe enjoy, if you can jump ahead. Well, this is super nerdy. Super nerdy. You can tune out to the next one. If you can jump ahead to like the end of season 2 in Deep Space 9, and move through the Dominion War. It's fascinating to watch because it's unlike any other Star Trek show where Gene Roddenberry, the creator, yep. had died, and he was all about everybody getting along yeah. And no conflict within interpersonal circles. And they threw that away, and it was fascinating to watch the politics of it all. And there's a great correlation between the Cardassians and the Bajorans and the Holocaust.
Oh, okay. I'm totally gonna check that
I'm a huge
out.
Huge Star Trek nerd. I mean, if I needed more
so
things to be nerdy
that, with, yeah.
But anything current you're watching? Like, did you watch Hill House?
I didn't. I don't like scary things. Is it okay. scary?
It's very jump scary.
Okay. See, I don't like that.
Okay. Yeah, no, I can't offer any more suggestions to you.
I don't remember what else I to be honest, I've just the last month of my life has really been kind of crazy, so I haven't had an opportunity.
Will it slow down a little after election?
Oh yes. Oh yes. Okay. I cannot wait to just not get out of bed the Saturday following the election.
Okay. Nick Comives, city council person for Toledo. Thanks for hanging out as always. Always a good time.
Always fun. Hey, can I say one last thing?
Yeah, yeah, of course.
I'm sorry.
Everybody tuned out after the Deep Space Nine stuff, though.
Probably. But if you're still listening, I just want to say, like, if you're like me going through what's happening right now, lean on your friends and your family and your loved ones, because it is a lot to soak in and watch what's happening. And there's a lot of rhetoric being thrown around, and we forget that we're all humans in this process. And, it's okay to feel like you're helpless or all of those things, but find somebody to talk to in your life.
There's something in that I'm going to include. There's a great article that I go back to regularly about human resiliency. We always think like this is the end of the world. And I'm including this in my talk next week for the Epic Leadership thing. And it's an article from 2012 before the election. So Obama and Romney. Mm-hmm. And it went back 8 years prior to that. And it talked about how like every 4 years we go through this melodrama of that's it. If such and such wins, I am off to Canada. And then they do the data and the research and like not many people move to Canada.
Right.
And I'll say this in the speech, but granted, the last couple of years have been a little wilder and a little more unconventional than in the past. But for the most, we get into this melodrama for one of two reasons. And I'll give you the first one, and you can come to the Leadership Summit next week for the second one.
Shameless plug.
We forget that while it's awful that a bunch of Jewish people were massacred, that there's bombs going to politicians and all this stuff. We get caught up in it because it's such a big news thing. There's so many news outlets. We forget that our day is really just, you know, pretty mundane. Make sure you brush your teeth and floss, you know, once a day. Make sure you get to work on time. Make sure you don't spill your coffee. You don't spill your water. Life is really about that and being just like a decent human being and not about some of these bigger things. And yes, we should participate when we're able to during election day, but let's not lose sight of, you know, our loved ones and our circle around us, because that's what we impact and what impacts us every day.
And reach out to your loved ones that you know are particularly impacted, right, during this time. When you see attacks on a certain group of people.
Did you think of me?
I did think of you. My friend Alyssa. I mean, just there's a long list. I sent emails to many people just because people do it for me when I think of like Pulse in Orlando. Mm-hmm. And I remember the number of people that I felt better because people reached out to me to say, you know, I'm sure that this is something that's difficult for you to go through. So I think it's important. And I knew I was going to see you today, and I'm excited to give you a big hug.
I am West Jewish people. We are like termites. You've been trying to kill us for 2,000 years. We are not going anywhere. I figured I'd end it inappropriately and make them laugh. Thanks for listening.